Would you take your Bibles and open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 this morning.
We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as we continue with our series in this small letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Thessalonica. I'll begin reading in chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 12. This is where our study takes us this morning. The apostle says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we've commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." Father, this morning, as we come to a very simple, straightforward passage of Scripture, would you use it to challenge us? Would you use it to grow us? Our world is chaotic. It is exhausting at times. And we, here in the United States, do not even know the worst of it. And yet our souls often are troubled. But God, I am thankful that in your wisdom, you have given us passages of rest. And I believe this is one of them. So Father, as you have laid on my heart the importance of these commands, I pray that you would do a work in our lives, convicting us of sin, any area where we deviate from this. The joy of forgiveness and the peace of living for you. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Refreshing instruction in a chaotic world. Sometimes God gives us a break from the difficult. I'm thankful for that. The teaching from last week, and I think you would say the same, the teaching from last week about morals was a challenge. I know that you would say the same, many of you, because you and I have had those conversations this week. And that's good. God is pleased. There was a great challenge in the message to the Thessalonians last week about living a morally pure life. The wicked one knows how to push buttons and pull strings. He knows what he's dealing with. But he doesn't know our God. At least he lives or exists like he doesn't. Because our God is greater. Our God is more powerful. Our God sets us free. Now, the teaching is this, that we are defrauders. And because of the enemy and because of the world in which we live, it is a constant battle to walk in the will of God rather than the lust of the flesh. That is the war that's going on because Satan wants us to forget God and his will. We know the struggle well. And yet, as we saw last week, God offers forgiveness through Christ and a promise to forgive and to cleanse so that we may worship him well and so that we may turn our eyes, shift our eyes and attention and our gaze to the eternal. That was hard. Perhaps today will be a bit easier. Not easier to live out, but refreshing when it comes to trying to figure out how you're supposed to live in the chaos, in the mess of this world. In our text today, the Apostle Paul is still encouraging the Thessalonians, just like he was in verses 1 through 8, just like he has been doing in the previous three chapters, encouraging and encouraging and encouraging. He's coming alongside. He loves these people. That's why all of the instruction on morals last week, he loves them too much to say stay silent. So he sticks his neck out, and in a spirit of loving grace, he offers to them what God offers to them, and that is forgiveness. And so he continues now to encourage them. So on the heels of a serious rebuke, his teaching turns quite basic, yet encouraging. What is the message that we just read about in verses 9 through 12? It is simply this. Your brotherly love is to continue. Your brotherly love is to continue. So as if to refresh them and bring them back to a simple focus or an emphasis on the family of God, he reaffirms the many admonitions of the Old Testament. He also reaffirms the teachings of Jesus while challenging them with this, that in all of the complexities of life, in the chaos, in the mess, with all of the complexities, the chaos that you will experience, in light of all of the crazy things you and I will face in this world, love one another. Love one another. This will refresh them. This will strengthen them. And Lord willing, we'll do the same for us today. Refreshing instruction for life in a chaotic world. Now, let's begin here with verse number 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, obviously, he's writing to them. What he means by no need to write to you is this. You don't have any need for further instruction on this. One, because you're already living it, but two, because I know that you have been taught by God and you are being continually taught by God. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You say, where did that happen? Well, you see back in verse 8, this is how we ended our message last week, with the encouragement that God has given us His Holy Spirit. And you remember the circumstances in which He gave us the Holy Spirit. Remember the context of the previous 8 verses. So God has given us the Holy Spirit, this indwelling person, third person of the Godhead that lives inside all believers. To recap, at conversion, believers become lifelong pupils or students as the Spirit begins this inner witness to the love that is present within the family of God. It begins at the moment of conversion. Now, if you would, hold your place here and turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Paul has just finished up teaching, basically using New Testament characters and New Testament passages as a means to show that God has not changed. Salvation is the same in the Old Testament as the New, justification by faith. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing. We have an inside track. We have some knowledge that those who do not know God, they don't possess this. We know this. So not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope, get this, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you remember, as Paul is teaching the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit or the produce of faith. What is it that the Holy Spirit brings about in the believer's life? What's the very first of the fruit of the Spirit? Love. That's right. Love. So for the Thessalonians then, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. The instruction is refreshing because it is standard issue for the believer. Believer, when the Holy Spirit indwells you at that moment of conversion, you now have the privilege and the wherewithal to love one another. It's standard issue. This love for the brothers and the sisters, it isn't a result of any formal teaching or class. It is not for an elite few. It is an inbred, immediate quality. And it's realized by all those who possess the Holy Spirit. And certainly it grows and it matures over time, but it is there at the moment of conversion from day one. The Thessalonian believers have been growing in a love for others as they grew in a love for God. He taught them this. All of them. Not just leadership, not just a select few. Brotherly love becomes a normal characteristic of all those who are truly born again. And God intended for it to be this way. The instruction that is being given to us here is refreshing because it's not something that we have to go on some wild scavenger hunt to find. It is standard issue. It is the testimony of those who, when God saves them, want to make restitution. In other words, they want to give back that which they've taken. On numerous occasions, I've been with people who, now that they are born again, say, okay, I got to tell you something. I got to do something about this situation. Why? Why would they immediately want to take care of something that they had done wrong in the past? Why? Because there is a love that is there now that wasn't there then. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the testimony of the one who is forgiven and then becomes convicted that they need to forgive in a difficult relationship. Not because it's easy. And not because they're necessarily going to get anything out of it. But why do they forgive? Because there is a love that is in them, known by the forgiveness that God has granted to them. The love that He has shown through forgiveness. So now I desire to be a forgiving person. This love that we are talking about, this love that is standard issue, it is the testimony of believers who enter into strange churches, churches that they've never been in before, or they're sitting in airplanes or restaurants or walking through their neighborhood, and they're in public, and they meet someone else, and they say, "Are you a believer?" or it comes out in conversation that they have been saved by God, and you meet that other believer, there is often this unusual connection. And what accompanies that unusual connection? Joy. I've never met this person in my life, and all of a sudden, they're bringing me joy. Simply because there is a connection between the Holy Spirit that resides in me and the same Holy Spirit who resides in them. That simple joy floods your heart. What that is brotherly love. It is a refreshing contrast between a self-focused, claw your way to the top world and the grace-filled love of our Savior. It is, in a sense, a taste of the eternal, taught by God Himself to all believers through the indwelling Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, we do not need much instruction on. Because, friends, it is taught to us by God Himself, by the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is refreshing because it is standard issue. Number two, verse 10. The instruction is refreshing because it is naturally contagious. It is naturally contagious. We could say it this way. It is not repulsive to most. To most. Verse 10. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. We urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now, there is a connection between chapter 4, verse 10, and chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Now, let's turn back there just so we see the connection. We've gone over this before, but notice again the continuous theme that runs through this letter. There is something Paul knows about these people, about these believers. And it is refreshing, and it is contagious. Verse 6, 1 verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. We could insert there, yet with joy of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, He's indwelling. That joy was so contagious, verse 7, that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. For from you the word of the Lord was sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. They know what happened in Thessalonica and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so what is Paul saying about the Thessalonians, both there in chapter 1 and now reiterating here in chapter 4, verse 10? That these Christians had a pattern of love and a pattern of kindness. And it was spreading. It spread all through Macedonia and Achaia. As we've seen, the power of the Thessalonican testimony was based in the blessing of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, not in their ability to present. So take yourself back to our messages in those passages of Scripture where the Thessalonians weren't being credited because they were excellent orators. It wasn't that they were persuasive in their speech. They had a persuasive testimony. God did this. So they opened their mouths and they taught. They gave testimony to what God had done in their own lives. But they also did something else. They came to see that their salvation would most clearly be demonstrated not during times of ease, but during times of difficulty and challenge. And you'll remember this, that why is a testimony so clear during times of difficulty and challenge? It's because it defies natural explanation. There are supernatural forces at work that brings the joy, that brings the peace, even in the midst of chaos. I'm so thankful for people who can stand up and give glory to God when, from a human perspective, life seems to be crumbling and falling apart. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone? I should stop there. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone? Believer, that is the challenge that was expected. It didn't even have to be spoken. It was expected of the Thessalonians. They shared the gospel and that good news of a transformed life through faith in Jesus alone became contagious. Have you ever shared the gospel and received less than a less than friendly response? Sometimes it's just a no thanks. But sometimes it's even hostile or embarrassing. At times, our words are not received. But that doesn't mean that the gospel testimony is over. Because a strong, humble quietness in times of trial, often it's not as repulsive as the words. In fact, that's what often draws the attention of the unbelieving world. And so we hear questions like, how can you respond like that? How can you be so calm when this is happening? I would be a mess. Why? Why those questions? Because the most effective testimony does not come in word only. It does come in word. And we are repeatedly exhorted to open our mouths and proclaim the goodness of the Lord. But the most effective testimony may not come in word only, but in action that overflows from the transformed heart, the heart that's been impacted by that gospel. Yes, the Thessalonians had a verbal testimony of a redeemed life. But that testimony was backed up by action. And it was an action which was used to both encourage believers and draw unbelievers. It was contagious. So Paul says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, that you, that is, in this brotherly love that you show, in this brotherly love that has grabbed hold of your heart, in this brotherly love that flows out of the Spirit's leading, increase more and more. Because people are hearing what you say. And people are seeing what you do. It's spreading. How encouraging for a people who are living in a very, very difficult culture. The instruction that Paul is giving to them is refreshing because it's standard issue. Brotherly love comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. The instruction is refreshing because it is contagious. Changed lives is what everyone's looking for, whether they admit it or not. And then number three, this instruction is refreshing because this is really deep, right? It just makes so much sense. It is not complicated to understand. It's not philosophically complex or deep. Here is how you show your love for the brothers and sisters in the Lord's family. Verse 11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you. Lead a quiet life. Notice the word aspire there. That implies some intentional work. You do not have to aspire to something that comes easily. This is going to be tough because of the world and because of the enemy. They are the opposite of this. You fight against that pull. Instead, what is he saying by lead a quiet life? He's saying don't stir up undue strife. Don't meddle in the affairs of others. Don't borrow trouble or spend your days worrying about those things which you have no control over, right? Those are just, it's common sense. You've probably given some of that advice to others. Common sense often goes out the window when we aren't focused on the grace of God. We get frazzled. We get worked up, to which Paul just simply says, lead a quiet life. Lead a quiet life. Intentionally resist the urge to let your mind and your body spin out of control. You say, well, that's easier said than done. Right, it is. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. That is why this standard issue gift of the Holy Spirit is so, so beautiful. Because when we are tempted to spin out of control and let our mind and our feelings and our words be that which are not consistent with the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace, that is when the Holy Spirit brings that word of conviction and says, close your mouth and listen to me and be still. And the scriptures support that, don't they? A wonderful Bible study would be for you to go through scripture, noting all of the different times when we are admonished to be still. And to hold our tongue. Lead a quiet life. It's possible because of the grace of God and the indwelling Spirit. Number two, mind your own business. Now, we say that, and maybe as we read this, I mean, this is how you heard it as, mind your own business. That's not what he's saying. Sorry, you cannot go around to, hey, just mind your own business, will ya? God said so. There's no rudeness here. There's only wisdom. Mind your own business. Literally, do your thing. Do your thing. Now again, oh yeah, great, I can do whatever I want. I can just do my thing. No, no, no. Context, remember? What's he talking about? He's not talking about selfishly living like a hermit. We know that. Why do we know that? Because of all of those different passages that tell us to interact in such a way that we're pointing people to Christ. We are to one another. What he is getting at is simply showing love to those whom God brings along your own path. Mind your own business. In other words, pay careful attention to the path that God has for you. That makes sense? He's addressing the Peter syndrome of John 21. Familiar with that? Again, keep your hand here, but just look at John 21. One of our Lord's final conversations on earth. How fitting. How fitting. Notice what he says. John chapter 21, verse 20. John 21, 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So he saw John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. And Peter says this. He says, Lord, He leaned on Jesus' breast and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said this to Jesus. Lord, what about him? What about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. What is he saying? He's saying, Peter, do your thing. Do the thing that God has given to you, Peter. Jesus says, you follow me. You do your thing which I've given to you. So what is Paul saying to the Thessalonians? You show brotherly love to those whom God brings into your life. Don't concern yourself with whether God is bringing someone into someone else's life. Who has God brought into your life? You show brotherly love to them. The instruction is refreshing because it's so simple. Lead a quiet life. You can by the gift of the Spirit. Mind your own business. You can by focusing on those the Spirit gives to you. And then number three, work with your hands. Simply put, the family of God is a place to work diligently. Oh, I just don't know what to do for the Lord. The family of God is a place to work diligently. When you give yourself to the body of Christ, you are showing love for them, and you are showing love for God. Work with your hands. You can apply this in a number of different ways. Serving in some way in formal ministries. The hard work of one anothering. Laboring so that you can give faithfully. You work with your hands. Paul's going to talk about the day of the Lord. He's going to be talking about the return of Christ. And some have said, well, we should be working hard because we never know when Jesus is going to come. Well, there's some truth in that, but isn't it interesting that this instruction had already been given to them before teaching on the day of the Lord? So in other words, because of the standard issue grace of God known as the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, guess what? You are equipped to live in this way, and it makes so much sense. So much sense. Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work, serve with your hands. Believer, how refreshing is it to be around those people? How joyful is it to be around those who lead a quiet life, who mind their own business, and work diligently in our Lord's service? We had a great time. That was so encouraging. That was so helpful. God in His grace has given us clear instruction on how to be a blessing to those around us and how to be a testimony for Him. It makes so much sense. Lastly, verse 12. This instruction is refreshing because it is timeless. Timeless. It is repeatedly beneficial. It is not going out of style anytime soon. That you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Those outside, they will grow in their respect for you. And they will respond to it. In some way, they will respond to it. And, believer, you will be stronger because of it. Simply put, that's what he is speaking. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this will all know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. It's not complicated, is it? that you will have love for one another, brotherly love. We live in a very complex world. I think we would agree that we credit most of that to the chaotic nature of sin. Satan knows that if he can pervert enough and twist enough and deceive enough and lie enough, chaos ensues. The Thessalonians, get this, the Thessalonians lived in a world of abusive power, perverted morals, and cruel intolerance. Sound familiar? Navigating life and relationships and responsibilities for them would be complicated. How refreshing to receive some simple instruction from their beloved friend. Believer, our country is openly showing the fruit of its moral decline. Our country is openly showing its disdain for God and the Bible. What we need is what Christ's church has always needed. It is what the Thessalonians needed, and it is what we need to speak and to live the hope of the gospel. To who? To the broken, to the hurting, to the fearful, and to those who openly rebel. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. That message sounds foolish. It sounds overly simple. To who? To those who are caught up in the chaotic confusion of the moment. But the only way for us to stand apart is to step out of the chaos and into simple obedience. Love one another. Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your hands. All in the context that God has given us the Spirit and Jesus is coming. Richard Bargus has been the executive director of the IFCA for the last couple of years. Recently read a comment of his that I thought was helpful. He said this, just simply, in a chaotic world, maybe part of our problem is the foundation of our hope. Is it built upon the rock of Christ or something else? And that something else is left wide open, isn't it? Our hope is Jesus, Jesus alone. And His simple instruction can be a refreshing balm to us as we navigate this chaotic, sinful world. May God receive the glory as we submit ourselves to these things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for a passage like this that is so straightforward, intentional, purposeful, because it is the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is also cutting. I pray that where conviction is brought, we would confess our sin and know the forgiveness and cleansing that you promise. And I pray that where challenge is brought, I pray that we would surrender and submit and act on that initial conviction. Where encouragement is needed, I pray that the presence of your Spirit would lift our hearts. And God, I pray that we as a church might be like the Thessalonians, that our testimony would go out not in word only, but in action. That we would be known as a people who have an indwelling God. That we would be known as a people who are continually giving and living a testimony that is contagious. That we would be known as a people who live simply because we've been instructed to. Diligence with our hands. Focused in our attention. Quiet in our demeanor. And Father, I pray that we would live out these timeless truths until you take us home to glory. That is a promise that you make. And we are thankful that you make good on your promises. And so, this refreshing instruction for a chaotic world, would we take it to heart and surrender to you and live it as you become the one that we fix our gaze on. In Jesus' name, amen.